Welcome to the Scariest Things Podcast, episode 30XXX, your gateway to the tropes and trends of the horror genre, where tonight we are talking about pornography in horror.
Woohoo!
No, we're not. We're not. Although that kind of sounds...
No, don't do that. We're not doing that.
That sounds titillating. Titillating. Literally titillating. No, tonight we are talking about the most overrated horror films of all time, which is interesting because, you know, I was
overrated. Overrated.
Because I think more often than not, we concentrate, we bring the positive, we bring the love, we bring our love for the genre. We don't really talk about the duds. Yeah. We don't really talk. We don't bag on films too much. We talk about our love for the films.
Once upon a time, we did when we did the Dead Undead.
But we were keeping thematically. But Dead Undead was hot on the heels of our love, our fearsome foursome love.
And I think that what we determined was that actually we love a lot more of the horror movies than we dislike.
Yeah. But before we get into the most overrated horror films of all time, I have a big, big, big announcement.
What's that?
Big announcement.
What's that?
I saw Hereditary.
Oh! Okay. Is that going to fit into your...
And it's scary. Okay. No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not. That most actually... overrated horror film of all time. No, Hereditary is solid. I was kind of surprised. Yeah. I was... You know, I did talk to somebody, which I won't disclose who.
Who did
say it was rather overrated, and I thought, oh geez. And then I talked to this woman at the theater who was sitting behind us, and she said, yeah, I don't know, I just don't know about all this. And I was like, I kept thinking to myself, oh God, like
was
Eric wrong? did he led me astray? What's happening?
And for those, I think
solid. Yeah, it's super solid, super tight. Yeah. There is this weird little bit of exposition, which I'm not going to go into at the end, but it was almost necessary because, it's a thinker. And okay. I got to the end of the film. I'm like,
I've seen it twice now. So
wait, what's going on? Like, what happened?
The breadcrumbs, he leaves this trail of breadcrumbs about the whole plot.
Really fine grained detail. Super subtle. Yeah. You gotta be looking around. You gotta be looking at what's in the shadows. You gotta look at what's in the shadows. You gotta look at like
the symbols.
You gotta look at the sets. Not just the sets that she's building, but the sets around them. Yeah.
I could talk for a whole podcast about the theories behind that one.
It is super good.
But it is not for everybody. I think one thing that I should caution you is I gave it a 5 out of 5 stars, and I don't do that very often. I only do those things that I believe that are instant classics. But I know that it's not going to be everybody's kind of a movie. I know that Amy, our shaky cam kitty, would probably hate Hereditary. It's a long movie that draws out, and then it's a slow burner, and then it comes, and then it just ramps up like crazy at the end.
You know, I don't know that it is a slow burner because there is like
about the one halfway mark.
Yeah,
there,
yeah.
Where just
but there is
the
like
nuts.
It is dark and foreboding, like from the opening scene.
Yeah,
and it never lets go. No. This is my hot take is it was ordinary people with Satanism.
Yes.
It's like if ordinary people was a satanic
Google
film.
It.
Right. And like much like you don't rush out to see ordinary people like, mm-mm. you know, every year at Christmas because you don't want to feel horrible about yourself. Yeah. This is the same kind of thing. I don't think you're going to be rushing out like and seeing this for like repeated viewings because it is dark as hell and it's super depressing. I had to come home and watch Jimmy Fallon for a half an hour just to like shake the
my recommendation is you go see Hereditary and then you go see What Won't You Be My Neighbor as a follow up and make yourself feel better about things after all is said and done, because
there you go.
I think the cinema score, I mean, it is the great test of critic scores versus the cinema score, like the immediate fan reaction, was terrible.
Right.
People, but it's because it doesn't make it. It's a movie that is it grabs you and it doesn't let you go and you feel wrung out when you're done.
Good segue. Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about films that are overrated.
That's right. Maybe
films where the critics disagree with the fans, or the fans disagree with the critics, or...
And this is the case. If I'm calling myself a critic, I...
Or the fans just, like, are totally off base. And there's a lot. I mean, there's a rich history of, I think, films out there that people go... Oh my God, it was the scariest thing ever, or oh my God, this is a master class in horror filmmaking, and then you sit down and you watch it and you go,
what?
That was a pile of junk.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta be kidding me. For me, I think a lot of the things that that made films overrated, I think there's a lot of films out there that have scary moments and horrifying moments. But there's no subtlety to the film. It's just like constant, like in your face.
Something that's actually
jump scares.
I was gonna say like, jump scare. The dependent.
Yeah,
those movies drive me crazy.
And especially in the modern era, there's a lot of films that are super jump scares dependent. And in fact, going back again to Hereditary, there was only two real jump scares in Hereditary,
and they pay off, man.
And they're like big jump scares. One is like a teeny jump scare, but it's still a big jump scare. In fact, I spilled my beer when I was watching the movie. It's when the bird hits the window. I my beer in the air.
There was a moment.
But the jump scare at the end is like crazy jump scare. Like you're like curled up in a fetal position in the chair.
Well, I just saw it again this past weekend. So I saw it. Originally, I saw it at Overlook, and I saw it again.
Right.
And it was still a pretty full hall, which was cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there was a moment where...
Yeah.
And there was a woman who was sitting two seats away from me, and she just, like, convulsed and twitched and started flopping around in her seat and was like... And I was like, oh, she gotcha. Because it was perfect timing, and it wasn't...
But see, that's the brilliance about that film, is that there's a subtlety to it. It doesn't beat you over the head. It's not jump scare, jump scare, jump scare, jump scare, jump scare. It's like very subtle and well-placed and well-timed scares.
Yes.
That make it so great.
But again, we're not talking about...
No, we're
not. Well,
we're talking about the films that maybe don't do that so well. Maybe didn't go to that master class. They slept in. They hit the snooze bar.
Right.
They said, I'm blown off class today. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to class. I'm not going to learn how to make a horror film. I know how to do it anyway. What the hell is this teacher going to teach me?
Well,
I don't need to know about this.
So here's some of my thoughts on this particular episode.
Okay.
Episode
30, Triple X.
A lot of my stuff is franchise studio-based horror.
Yes.
And it tends to be what tends to frustrate me the most.
Yep.
And I know I'm going to be picking movies...
Where it's maybe an okay idea
that
they just decide to string out.
And by overrated, I also will suggest to you that I'm not saying these are bad movies, but they don't... Some of them are just movies that I think have garnered more recognition and love than I think is due... than they are due. I think that
rated. That is a perfect way to put it, because one of the films that we will get to later on is one of the most lauded films of all time.
Okay.
And probably well deserved, but is it deserved that much?
Right.
Probably not.
Well, it draws it out. And some of these things, like I know that I could have, in the last podcast, we were talking about movies from the matinee era, and I talked about a movie called From Hell It Came.
Right.
Which was a shitty movie.
Right.
It's not overrated.
No.
because it was nobody thought it was a good movie. It doesn't have it does not have a huge following. There's a reason why you've probably never heard of it. It's because it's a bad movie.
Right.
These are movies that all the movies that I'm listing have had a good bit of success that's tied to them.
Yeah, these are fans and critics that have come to it and said, "Oh my gosh, this is a really scary film." And you know, the other thing I will say on that note is that I think, and it could just be like me looking at a lot of these things through a hypercynical prism, but I think the scares that scare people with some of these films are just that—they're very base, kind of surface sort of scares, and that there's no real artistry to it.
And they're not earned.
They're not earned. And I think people go, "Oh my gosh, that was such a scary film." It deserves to be, you know, put in the, you know, it deserves to be put in the same place or held to the same esteem as, you know, The Shining or Hereditary or The Exorcist. Yeah. And you're like, no, it doesn't. No,
the story through line, it's not scares built upon the premise. It's scares because they throw a cat at you and hit the violin strings. It's just no. So
all right. So what other variables were you thinking about as you thought about overrated films?
Well, I think for each one of these films, I have a one word description before I kick into it.
Oh, good.
That I will. That. That I will give
try
you.
To, I will try to come. I will try to do that on the fly.
And these were guaranteed. These are hot takes.
Yes.
One of these movies I have been critical of in the past on our website, scariestthings.com, and I held my ground, and I got a lot of blowback from people going,
"What?
What are you kidding me? This movie is awesome." I was like, "No, it is not. It is not an awesome movie," and we'll get to it.
Oh, awesome. So, yeah. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do you want me to start us off?
You go ahead and you start.
Okay, I'm going to start right from the top. And this is a film that I remember seeing the trailer for when I was in my younger days being terrified by it. I remember this kind of weirdo girl in grade school was reading the book.
Okay.
And I thought, well, if this weirdo girl is reading the book,
it's got to be scary.
Then it's got to be super freaky. And then the film came out, I saw the trailer, and I went, holy bananas, this has got to be the scariest thing ever. I stayed away from the film, not because I thought, oh my God, it's the scariest film ever. I just stayed away from it for whatever reason. It just never hit the radar, and then you and I saw it.
Yeah, I think
a couple years ago.
Yeah, I know what this is. It's on my list too.
My one word hot take: boring.
Okay,
this is the Amityville Horror, 1979 supernatural horror film based on Jay Anson's book that the creepy girl in my grade school was reading from 1977 about the Lutz family. I mean, it's got James Brolin, it's got Rod Steiger, it's got Margot Kidder, great cast, really good acting.
The acting is fine. There's nothing wrong with the acting.
But it's like, it's, I mean, arguably one of the scariest premise ever.
Right. But I think
moves into a house that is the scene of a horrific murder that's built on an Indian burial ground. Oh my God! You can't come up with anything scarier than that.
But I think this movie.
But it turns into a procedural crime drama that is so friggin' boring, and it culminates. The end of the film culminates with James Brolin going in into the cellar, and I don't know. He opens up some sort of time space portal, and he fights with the demons, and it's just dumb.
My one word description for this was dull.
Yeah. Boring, dull.
Yeah, I think it's
not a good film. One of the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes said it's dull and disappointing. The best that can be said for the Amityville Horror is that it set a low bar for its many sequels and remakes.
Well, that's the crazy thing is that it did pretty well in the theaters, and it came out. They did a 90s adaptation.
Yep.
Also. Dull.
It was the second highest grossing independent film of all time. $86 million
at the time. Yeah.
It was not surpassed until 1990 when the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's a dubious feat.
which apparently at the time the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was an independent franchise, which is kind of.
So do you think that this movie had lean too hard into the fact that it's based on a true story, and so that they didn't go as hyperbolically paranormal as they could have gone.
Yeah, I don't know what the if the Lutz family had like right of first refusal, or if they had like any sort of editorial control over the screenplay or the script or anything, but yeah, they pulled way back on a lot of stuff. When you're right, I think it could have gotten a hell of a lot more creepy and a hell of a lot more dark, and I think you could have pulled in a lot of the elements of the original. You know, the murder scene that, you know, that happened prior to the Lutzes. But that ultimately, a lot of the stuff just really wasn't that scary. I mean, flies aren't really that scary. Yeah. I mean, James Brolin, obviously, he's in quite a bit of overacting, is sitting, in the family living room, clearly drunk and just kind of writhing around. Isn't a terribly convincing acting job. I don't think it was terribly convincing. I mean, yeah, because I think he was trying to sort of portray this idea that he's both possessed and he's losing his mind at the same time, and it just seemed kind of messy.
I think the script was it hurt the movie.
Yeah.
And you know, there weren't even any jump scares.
No.
It was like, I mean, as much as we started ragging on jump scares, they didn't even. It's just like, try harder.
There's like one jump scare, or it's not even really a jump scare per se, but it's when Margot Kidder looks out the window and then there's the demon eyes that are staring back at her.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary, you know? I mean, there's a couple scary...
But it never amounts to anything.
Scary elements. And, you know, I the thing that I really remember when we watched it, I remember thinking, this is like a Hallmark, you know, made-for-TV movie. Like, the production values were set pretty low. And it just, like, for this film that was, like, in 1979, it was a big freaking deal. Like, it was, like, on the tip of everybody's tongue.
Well, I think there was a script that was in much demand.
Oh, yeah. People were excited about it because the book came out in 1977. Mm-hmm. So, like, they moved on it pretty fast.
Now, we've talked about this before.
And this is, you know, I guess the thing that's interesting about this, too, before we move on, is that, you know, this was really in a pre-internet, pre-digital, like, still analog age. So, I mean, the book getting passed around and everything, it was very much a word-of-mouth kind of phenomenon.
Sure.
I mean, sure, the Lutz family showed up on, you know, Phil Donahue and stuff like that. But, I mean, it was definitely kind of like, it was the sort of thing that, by word-of-mouth, I think took the country by storm.
Yeah. And it, yeah, didn't live up to the promise. But
no.
Eventually... James Wan is probably going to take a swing at this one with Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga.
Yes. Hopefully they do.
And he has been very good with his first two Conjurings.
Yes.
Because it is the Warrens.
Yes. We'll get to James Wan in a second.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you got number four on your first and foursome list?
Okay. This one, my one word description is lame.
Lame.
Child's Play.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I never liked this series.
Yeah.
I found Chucky not only to be not scary, I found him to be not interesting.
Right.
I'm not a fan of doll-based horror movies. I'm not really interested in seeing Annabelle, for example.
Right.
Granted, I think if you want to see a movie where you see scary dolls done right, go see Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich when it comes out in theaters in August. Because that was fun.
Yeah.
I
mean, Child's Play tries to be fun.
Child's Play
ends up being kind of sadistic.
Yeah, it uses humor that isn't funny.
Right.
There's no...
Well, and it's like, super dated now.
Yeah,
if you go back and watch Child's Play, it's super dated to 1987?
Right. Yeah, you know, and I think it was taking advantage of the My Buddy dolls, the kind of a thing where... And... Yeah, all the sequels are bad.
Yeah.
It's just...
It gave Jennifer Tilly a career of her own. So, you gotta love that.
After what did she do? Breakfast Club? Not Breakfast Club.
No.
A Big Chill. Big Chill. Yeah.
No. We'll get back to Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
And now she's like Poker Circuit and Child's Play.
Yeah, Poker Circuit, Child's Play. She's doing fine. Don't worry about
this
Jennifer Tilly.
I think this is a classic case of a... studio getting their hands on our property and not knowing how to they were trying to bring in a younger demographic,
mm-hmm.
but they weren't willing to push it to go hard R. They didn't. So, you know, Chucky was, it was violent. There was a lot of stabbing and slicing and stuff, but it wasn't really viscerally gross or disturbing mm-hmm. to the point where you'd go, it would make you feel uneasy, and yet it wasn't light and fun enough to make it a romp.
Right.
It just kind of took that middle ground and it just, I don't know, lame.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Hot take.
Yes. All right. My number three on the fearsome foursome list, my hot take is silly. My one-word description is silly, okay. And that is the 2013 American supernatural horror film called Oculus.
Okay, I figured that was going to be on there.
People loved yep. Oculus when it came out, although CinemaScore gave Oculus a C
right.
on the A to F scale, so C is pretty, yeah. It's not great, it's not bad, so I guess it's tough to call it overrated, although I think the audience reception and the mm-hmm. fact that they've, you know, they've gone on and done some others suggests that, you know, it was enough to call it overrated. Right. I think a lot of people, at least anecdotally that yeah. I've spoken yeah. to, were frightened by Oculus.
Our writer Amy,
yes.
the Scary Cam Kitty,
yes.
loves Oculus, and she and I go to battle on this one regularly.
Oculus is just, we saw it together. You know, the main character,
Karen Gillan,
who is maybe one of the worst actresses.
Yeah,
of
I think
all
my
time.
My one word description for this was overacting.
I would say James T. Kirk, because she delivered all of her lines mm-hmm. like Captain Kirk,
mm-hmm.
like, "Oh my God, this mirror is going to be the end of us." That was my Captain Kirk.
That's actually that was better than your Vincent Price from the last episode.
Oh my God, this mirror will be the end of us. The other thing that always kind of bugged me about the film was that it takes place in sort of two different time frames, mm-hmm. and they're switching back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the people that are switching back and forth with, I mean, you're talking about like a 4 or 5 year difference,
mm-hmm.
and so like half the time you're going, I'm not even sure what I'm watching. And the other thing that's crazy about this is that it pretty much all takes place in like one room in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in the guy's office.
It was
like almost the whole friggin' film
it was
takes
done
place
on the cheap
in this guy's office.
So this is, I think, another studio production. This is not a Blumhouse. Is this a Blumhouse?
I don't know if it is a Blumhouse. I don't know if it is a Blumhouse.
Because sometimes Blumhouse doesn't always hit it, but it. Well, let me double check this. Keep talking.
Film School Rejects, a review site, gave it kind of a mixed review. They said it was well acted, which I disagree with, mm-hmm. and it looks quite good, which it looks okay, and it does manage some moments of entertainment. I would maybe disagree with that, but it did say as the minutes tick by, it grows weaker and weaker until its final cheat is designed to allow for a shocker ending, which is totally true. So the shock at the end really isn't even that, I don't even think it's that shocking.
Well, you know, my take on this is it feels like a Twilight Zone episode. Kind of like,
done
it's like a mirror.
Done poorly.
An awkward, yeah. But
well, and you know, the crutch they use too is that, because they never really tell you how this mirror came about. I mean, mm-hmm. they hint at the fact that this mirror has been around for centuries. But they never really tell you how the mirror came about. Well, some of the research I did suggested that the writers were like, oh, we'll just treat it as kind of this like H.P. Lovecraft, mm-hmm. you know, kind of mythological thing. And we don't have to explain where the mirror came from. And I'm like, well, the hell you don't. It's a friggin' mirror. You do have to explain where the mirror came from.
This is a Blumhouse movie. Sorry, Blumhouse. Strike.
You had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got, number three on your fearsome foursome list?
So this one... this is the one that I got into some serious disagreements with some of our fans. I think my take on this...
Zombie? Come on, no. You already bagged enough on Zombie.
No.
Zombie is a great film.
I don't think... I'm not gonna bring out Zombie because I don't think it's that critically lauded or that loved. I know that you do.
It's loved in the horror genre. I think it's loved like, in the hardcore gorehound... Italian gorehound fans love Zombie.
And Mike Campbell is the is the president of that fan club.
Yes.
I said this is preposterous.
All right.
Is my one word take on it.
Preposterous.
This is Final Destination.
Oh, yes. Three or four?
First one.
Five.
Six? God, there's so many of us. I get so... And here's the bummer, is that actually, if you watch the first 15 minutes of any of these Final Destination movies...
Boom, you got it.
Yeah, but the thing is,
story, yeah.
But they showed these spectacular disasters in which case the people cheat death, right? And then they rewind it and unspool it and they redo it,
right?
And then they go back and that, you know, the argument is that you can't cheat death and fate's right. going to get you.
Right.
But it's a movie that is designed for you to root for people that die in preposterous ways,
right?
I don't like being manipulated like that, and I think that these. You know that they've got a big budget, but it's also like pretty kids, teenagers dying by the dozen,
right?
And you know, maybe that's just not my bag,
right?
And I'm not into that, but I like myself a Slumber Party Massacre every now and again,
absolutely,
or,
yes,
or you know what, The Burning. Or...
Although have the Final Destination films been largely well liked? I mean,
they are not critically, the critics don't like them, but they do tons of business.
Well, I think clearly the fact that there's six or seven of them suggests they do very well.
This is my, again, studio based lowest common denominator,
right?
Turn it out. Jump scares mixed with a lot of false moves, like it's not going to be the toaster in the bathtub, it's going to be the shower curtain and, you know, strangulation on this. And then, oh, it just so happens that dad's watching TV, doesn't hear all the clattering around. It's frustrating. It's a really frustrating movie. And it led to other movies that do, you know, they're again, there's a roller coaster disaster, there's a log truck disaster, there's a bridge disaster. They all are spectacular to look at first glance, and then the movies fall apart. They all fall apart. And
how many of the Final Destinations have you actually witnessed?
Two and a half.
Okay. I made it two and a half. That's pretty solid.
I actually sat through the whole first one because I felt like I wasn't giving it a fair shot, then I saw it and I was pissed.
Right.
So,
I made it through one.
Yeah.
And I kind of got off the train about after one.
The decisions that the teenagers make are terrible.
Yep.
They suffer no consequences for it. There are often, like, there's usually a funeral sequence where a bunch of people mourn the loss of a bunch of people, and then they start dying rapidly in succession, and there's no more funerals. It's like, I don't get it.
Right.
I don't like it.
Right. Yeah.
Final Destination hot take. I'm going to get some blowback from you folks again. Sorry, guys.
Speaking of blowback.
Yeah.
The next film, the hot take is Messy.
Okay.
And this is
not
Lionel Messi, who may be done forever in World Cup play. This is the 2010 American-Canadian supernatural horror film directed by
James Wan,
Insidious.
Okay.
Insidious is... I had so many problems with Insidious, and we saw Insidious together as well. I don't think the parents are super believable. I don't think the kid is a very good actor.
Right.
And I think the final act, or I guess the whole, well, it's not even the final act, it's the whole friggin' second half of the film just turns into this insane, there's just this just insanely messy demons, monsters in like a 1,000-square-foot home. It's so unbelievable and so ridiculous, and there's like time travel and space travel and monsters and space creatures and demons, and it doesn't make a friggin' lick of sense.
No, and
it's a mess. The whole second half is a mess.
If you want to see a better done movie of this type, go see Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. The Boston Globe wrote that the film begins with promise, which it does. Because, like, the premise is kind of okay. Like, they don't know. It's like, maybe the kid's sick. Maybe he's got some psychological problems. Maybe he's got some night terrors. Maybe something's going on. Mm-hmm. But the crazy train of Insidious runs fully off the rails when the filmmakers go from logical and some of the strange gets explained away as a double shot of demonic possession and astral projection. Thank you, Ethan Gilsdorf of the Boston Globe. You couldn't be more right.
Yeah.
If you want to see an M. Night Shyamalan film, Shyamalama Ding Dong, go see The Visit, because I think that's his high watermark, yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but this isn't a Shyamalan movie.
Oh, sorry. I was
James Wan.
I was crossing my
want to see a James Wan movie, go see The Conjuring.
Go see The Conjuring. Yes.
So I think you're prefacing a future.
No, sorry. I was reading a New York Times reviewer who said it feels like a less poetic version of an M. Night Shyamalan fairy tale.
Okay.
Sorry, I was reading two different things.
You were channeling.
And I mushed them all together, but we will get to M. Night Shyamalan a little later in the podcast.
Okay.
All right, so number two.
My number two is one word.
Yes.
Disappointing.
Ooh.
I think it had a lot of promise. I think so much potential horror in mm-hmm. this franchise, in this movie, the first movie before it became a franchise. Visually striking, from a master storyteller, visceral, and in the end, boring. Hellraiser.
Oh, kind of
disappointing.
I kind of agree. And much like Chucky.
Yeah.
Super iconic.
Yeah.
It's like, super duper iconic.
And I know that there are people who are going to be screaming at me on their headsets going, "Are you kidding me?" It's like, no. I mean, compare it to the... And what I'm saying, I'm not saying it's a terrible movie. The first one is not a terrible movie. It's just that it could have been so much more.
And it has become really overrated.
Oh, and the sequels are terrible movies.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
And it's...
Whereas, like, an icon like Leatherface and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, not overrated, deserves every last ounce of
credit. Well, and then some of the sequels match the level of the horror of the original. I think that, right, you know, you introduced...
Pinhead.
In the Texas Chainsaw Massacre thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the reboot of Texas Chainsaw was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, the whole idea behind Hellraiser is that the mystery box unlocks a portal to hell, and it's demon summoning, and the demons are spectacular looking. Pinhead is a sight to behold.
Yeah.
All of his cohorts that look great, but they just stand there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do anything. Granted, there are hooks that come flying out from nowhere and then start tearing people apart.
Right.
It can be cut. I think the first movie, there's, you know, the guy who makes the pact and he gets flayed and he turns him walking around and he's pontificating about the nature of hell and
right
and reality and all these kinds of things. And it's just like, get on with it. Let's
right.
And
much like Child's Play, super dated. If you go back and look at this, mm-hmm. incredibly dated looking, and not dated in a good way. Not like dated in like Last House on the Left kind of way.
No.
It is dated in a really ridiculous way.
Well, and I think at the time, the costumes.
Yeah.
The costumes and the makeup are pretty spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
It's bondage gear.
Not overrated.
Right. I think actually... In a way that, like, Suicide Squad got a Oscar for best costumes, I think you could make a strong point that makeup and costumes could have won an Oscar for Hellraiser. It was that good. The story was so flat from Clive Barker. I mean, it's like, how do you botch that? And they did. I know that it was successful enough.
I sense you're disappointed.
Yes. Because it was our first year second year in college, maybe I think
last year.
Yeah. Well, all I remember was that it was a couple years ago. They had at the video store, there was a cardboard cutout of Pinhead,
mm-hmm.
and I remember going, "This is going to be great.
Right.
This is going to look awesome." And it's like, and no, it I
disappointed.
Disappointed.
Right.
Hellraiser.
All right. That was number two on your Fearsome Foursome list. All right, my number one on the Fearsome Foursome list, the hot take is overrated. This, of course, I'm talking about the 1999 film, which was like the one of the highest grossing films of all time. It was the highest grossing horror film of all time up until last year when it...
Silence of the Lambs?
Beat it to the punch. No, The Sixth Sense.
Oh!
The Sixth Sense. Like, this is a film, and I'm terrible about getting, like, these twists and turns in the film, and usually I just go in and take a very prima facie approach to it. I watch it. I take it in.
Wow, this is a hot take. Okay.
I take it in. I let it unfold. I saw this film the first time, and I'm like, oh, I know exactly what's going on here. And then if you go back and watch it, I mean, much like we just talked about Child's Play and Hellraiser, you know, those films are obviously incredibly dated. This one, if you go back and watch it, it's just dull. It's a really boring film. I mean, it is a really, despite super solid performances.
Right.
And in fact,
two Oscar nods. And actually, I think three. I think Haley Joel Osment got nominated. Toni Collette got nominated, and I think Shyamalan got nominated. Nobody, they didn't win, but they got nominated.
Best Picture, mm-hmm. Best Director, Best Editing, Screenplay, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress.
So
this is a bunch. Yeah, so this is like the ultimate definition of
overrated it got a huge plot. It probably has a very high Rotten Tomato score.
Right, and you know, I think the other thing too was I came a little bit late in the game to it, and I think it was one of those things where people kept saying, "You've got to see The Sixth Sense. It's such a great film.
It'll blow your mind."
And when I got there and saw it, I was expecting something really special. I was expecting, you know, The Exorcist. I was expecting The Shining.
Right.
And what I got was like, it was okay. It was Bruce Willis. Yeah. And Bruce Willis, you know, the thing that like always drove me crazy about Bruce Willis was like, he should have.
It was a kind of sleepy performance.
It was a sleepy performance, and the thing that always like bothered me is he got shot. Like, shouldn't have he had, like, why was he, you
know, why didn't he
a different ghost? Yeah,
right.
He didn't have any blood. There was no evidence that he got shot.
Yeah.
He was, so there was like, holes and skips and gaps, and there was the little girl who, you know, thought that the parents were poisoning her,
mm-hmm.
but she never said anything to anybody.
Right.
And I'm like, wouldn't you, if you thought your parents were poisoning you, wouldn't you say something? I don't know, maybe to somebody, somehow, some way. Or at least, like, maybe even one of the parents.
Right.
And Haley Joel Osment, too, was like, I know he's been, you know, lauded as, like, this is one of the greatest performances of all time. But for me, it felt a lot like, you know, Ice Cube and Boys in the Hood, where it's like, you know, people say, well, Ice Cube and Boys in the Hood, it was great. And it's like, well, no, Ice Cube was playing Ice Cube. And Haley Joel Osment had just had this, like, permanent... dull-eyed single look on his face the entire film, and there was little to no acting that went on, and it wasn't that great.
Proof of the pudding was that he didn't go on to do much else.
No, not at all.
Right.
Not at all. I mean, The Sixth Sense to me, I think, is probably we'll see what you pull out for number one, but this to me is like kind of the ultimate definition of overrated, because it was literally like... The Academy came out, and all the, you know, it was just lauded with all these awards and nominations and this is and that. But when you sit down and watch the film, you're like, well, it's a solid piece of filmmaking, but it's really kind of dull.
Yeah. Well, which is the singular crime.
And it's not very scary.
Well, okay. So this is, I took a note for this episode where it drives me crazy when I hear somebody say, that wasn't scary.
Right.
And holding that against it, and it's almost like a badge of honor, saying it's not. But in this case, it's like you kind of, it needs to be scary, and or even it needs to try to be scary. Or there are some things where, you know, if it didn't scare me, it might scare my mom. But there are some of these movies that just aren't, you know. And I think that the one that I would point to, that like the Amityville Horror,
right,
is not scary.
There's a couple,
and it needs to be.
There's a couple frightening elements, yeah, but in total, it's not.
But as you know, in there's so many other haunted house movies that are so much better.
Right.
It's a well-worn trope. Even something like The Others.
Yeah.
Which has got a twist. Like, I think The Others is a superior movie to The Sixth Sense.
100%. 100%. And it's got the same friggin' twist.
It's got a flip to it. It's like.
Same twist.
They're the ghosts. It's like, aha, uh-huh. All right.
But I think it's a far better film.
Yeah.
I think it's a far
better film. I would agree with you there. I think for me, The Sixth Sense is a B.
Yeah.
But it gets rolled out as an A+, and right. I think it's a B.
Right.
I think that it's a...
Oh, I'd go... I'm going C-.
You are more disappointed.
C-, right. D+, so. Overrated. All right, so what do you got? Number one on your fearsome foursome list.
Well, this is part of the binging that I've been doing for Silver Age, Golden Age movies. And we actually have talked about this one. I went, well, let's see if Michael's right. I went and
was that right?
The Mummy.
Oh, yeah.
Boring. Actually, so my one word description for this one is it's slow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Mummy super itself slow. Is slow. the whole drawing out of the story of Imhotep is slow. It's just it takes a long time, and you suspect that behind the scenes the director, and you can't see it what I'm doing right now, but I'm doing the stretching motion with the hands. It's like, can you go a little longer? We need to, I don't have a whole lot of story here. Keep going with this.
And we did another 15 minutes.
The exposition isn't particularly
a little bit more. And, more shambling.
Yeah. And you know, the mummies, the great makeup.
It's a great premise.
Yeah. It was capitalizing on the finding of Tutankhamun's.
Right.
Tomb, right?
Right.
Was a sensation, worldwide sensation. Right. They found this, found King Tut's
and the British sarcophagus. The British explorers that found it were like beset by all sorts of paranormal happenings and disease and terror and horrible stuff.
So it had a lot of promise. I won't say it's not. This is not From Hell It Came. This is not It, the Terror from Beyond Space.
Right.
This is a movie that has been become legend, become iconic, and then you watch it and you go, really, that's all there was to it? Yeah. I think to a certain extent, I enjoyed the Brendan Fraser Mummy better. I think which is a cheesy action romp, but it was fun. It was from front to back.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with horror.
No, but it is. I mean, there are some moments where the mummy's jaw drops open and hordes of flies come out, and they're being pursued, and he kills a bunch of guys. And so I think by the same standard, it's a scarier movie than the original Mummy.
I would say that the Mummy poster. The original one sheet.
Those Universal posters are all just fantastic.
Might be better than the movie.
Yes. I mean, that goes for a lot of, well, particularly in the matinee era stuff. When you start seeing some things like the Claw? Or what was the name of this thing? It was another one of these bad movies that I ended up watching. The Giant Claw.
Oh, The Giant Claw.
Oh, my God. That was a bad movie.
Yeah.
Where they had hired a... They wanted to have this, like, this demonic eagle.
Right.
And it came back and it looked like a turkey. and they went, well, we could either scrap the movie or we use the turkey. And they used the turkey. And it's like... But the movie poster? Fantastic.
Exactly. All right. Well, that's... I think we've gotten in a lot of good... Which I will say, with all these overrated films, I wouldn't necessarily say don't see these movies and that these are bad films, save for maybe the Amityville Horror and the Mummy. I would say go out and give them a look. Just don't expect a whole lot.
Yeah,
expect a whole lot.
I would even say on my list, it's like, don't bother with Child. If you haven't seen Child's Play, don't bother.
Although, I mean, it is like, I would say bother with Child's Play and Hellraiser just because they are so iconic, and you can at least, if you haven't seen them, you can at least piece together like why people are so obsessed with Chucky and and Pinhead.
Yeah, I think Hellraiser for me is a C+.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's watchable. The sequels aren't really. Right. Yeah. Maybe Hellraiser 2 is kind of watchable.
Yeah,
but it's like, God, there's a bunch of bad Hellraiser sequels.
Right. So. All right. Well, let's go grave digging before we wrap up tonight. What do you got in your grave digging? What did you find out this week?
Well, guess what? I just found out today. I was listening to Collider. They announced that they are remaking. They're remaking Child's Play.
Oh no! You're
they are remaking Child's Play
with like, Chucky.
Yes.
Oh no!
There's also going to be they're going to do a theatrical movie, and they're also doing a
Broadway play.
No, a TV musical. Series.
A what? TV? Oh man!
It's like
that's stretch.
Woof.
Who the hell owns the Chucky property?
See, now here's the thing.
That's a good question. We are that person is masterful.
Someone out there goes, okay. Horror right now is big. What can we do to get in on the action? What are the IPs that we own? It's like, we own Child's Play. Great idea. Let's redo that. Okay, draft up a script. Gun. It is going into production.
Musical.
Yeah.
Video game. Restaurant. Theme park. Chucky.
It's like, we're going to produce Hordes of Dolls and people are going to love it. I will say, I would rather see, again, I am going to go back to the Puppet Master, the Littlest Reich movie. Yep. Because it was so gonzo fun and gross and over the top and offensive in a way that Child's Play doesn't kind of go. It plays it safe.
So when is the new Child's Play? Is it Child's Play? Is it in production?
Or? It just started production. It's going to be out next year.
Okay. All right.
So anyways, that was like, it was like timing. I was listening to Movie Talk today and was like, no. Of all the time, it's like perfect timing. I'm going to be talking about Child's Play today. They just made the announcement.
All right. All right.
Reboots.
All right. My grave digging this week, I stumbled onto Thanks People magazine. I stumbled onto a little horror short.
People?
People magazine. Really? People magazine hit me to a little horror short with a certain Selena Gomez. Formerly of Justin Bieber dating fame. It is a wackadoo film, like a little short film called A Love Story,
done by this
avant-garde Canadian artist Petra Collins, in some of the strangest and most disturbing images you've ever seen. This was released exclusively through Instagram's new long-form video service, IGTV. If you go to the scariestthings.com 1T website, you will see a short clip of the film. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure how long the film is in total. I think it's like 14 minutes or something.
Yeah, the trailer's about 2 minutes.
Yeah, and it's very, very strange.
It gives you a hint of what must be Mondo Bizarro.
It is. It is. Yeah, there's...
Mike, tell me this. Do you need to have a paid Instagram account to be able to watch it?
I believe that's how they're working the new IGTV long-form video service. But if you do, you will get to see a finger-headed monster. You will get to see heads floating in bathtubs. You will get to see...
A head growing out of somebody's back, it looked like.
Yes, you will get to see Selena Gomez chomping on eyeballs. You will get to see all of that. There is, however, if you're looking for evidence of Justin Bieber, there is no Justin Bieber, although this might be some masterful metaphor for Selena Gomez, Justin Bieber's dating relationship. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, now,
I don't know.
As a cautionary tale, I tried to go track this thing down when Mike posted this to our website, and you have to go through Selena Gomez's Instagram account, which is like 50% of her pictures with Justin Bieber.
Yes. Yeah. And so it might be worth it. It might not. But it was certainly interesting. And it was interesting that it was two women who are friends. Mm-hmm. You know, one's a Canadian filmmaker. One is like former, pop queen. kind of taking, you know, it's like it's
hard
a
hard left turn.
It's a hard left turn, and it's a very different and unique and interesting take on horror. So,
but here's the, I think the big takeaway more than anything else is that Instagram is getting into the short film business.
Yeah.
And which I think
somebody knows that there's some money to be had, and this can be monetized.
Yeah.
Not just our friends over at Shudder.
Yeah.
But. This is the new thing.
Keep your eyes on Instagram. Yes. I think that's brand new. So probably trying to. My guess is that they're trying to get something competitive with YouTube.
Yeah, it could be. All right. Well, I'm going to take us out. That was a good episode with one of my favorite taglines of all time from 1985. And this just
is this an overrated tagline?
This is not an overrated tagline. This is one that just it like. When you say it, it makes you sound cool. And it just makes you cool.
All right. Well, let's see if it makes you any cooler.
They will make cemeteries their cathedrals, and their cities will be your tombs. This is the 1985 tagline from Demons.
Nice. Hey, by the way, Demons is going to have a showing at the Hollywood Theater.
Oh.
With one, the star from Demons is going to be there.
And we'll be there.
So, yeah.
We will be there. And we will recap the Lamberto Bava's 1985 splatter classic for you. See ya.